I think any encouragement to prayer is always well invested, good investment of our time. The Bible has so much to say about it. I mean, folks, we can't stand at the throne of grace and plead ignorance. I mean, if you just go through and chase it through the Bible and read everything God says about the matter of prayer, I don't know how any of us can feel like we've arrived or we're doing enough of that or we do it well enough or consistent enough. But so these kind of Bible studies, I think, help encourage us and hit reset buttons. And hey, folks, don't forget this. You know, you can talk to God anywhere. I mean, this not there are references to the prayer closet, and certainly there ought to be sometimes a place where you go privately. But aren't you glad that literally, no matter what you're doing during the day, you can be having a conversation with God in your heart? Hey, He loves to hear from His children. How many of you are empty nesters? All the kids are out of the nest and out in the world somewhere, out doing their life. And come on, Mom and Dad, don't tell me you don't like hearing from the kids. I mean, you know, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty important. I mentioned a second ago about, you know, a little bus kid still needs her bus captain. Well, I got three girls that still need daddy every once in a while. That's a good thing. I like that. I like that they reach out every once in a while. You know, one man said, if you have a son, you'll have him till he has a wife. If you have a daughter, you'll have her for life. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I liked it because I got daughters. Amen. Well, as precious as our children are to us, and folks, our love, come on, and our relationship is certainly not as pure as God's love.
Yeah, that's right.
And so don't you think God loves His children? And don't you think He'd like to hear from, hey, little children, I know most of our kids are out there, but I'm going to tell you something. Come on, teenagers. God wants to hear from you.
Yes.
And this whole idea of just speaking to the Lord throughout the day, just asking Him for help and strength. When you're confused, tell Him that. Lord, I'm confused. God's not the author of confusion. You know, confusion comes from the devil. And so sometimes we can't even get our brain arranged right, and sometimes we just need to bow our head and just say, Lord, right now, I'm just spinning in circles. That's not of God. You know, help settle me. Help focus me. You know, He's there. He loves you. And no preacher, He loves preachers. And no, He loves you. He loves you. If you think otherwise, you've been tricked by the devil. He loves you, and He loves to hear from you. And so, all right, let's get into it. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible if you're able. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this great, enormous subject. Dear God, volumes have been preached and written on the matter of prayer. We certainly, Lord, are going to be limited. But Lord, may the truths that we're reminded of tonight help us. Help us to seek You more often, become more dependent upon You. Lord, enjoy our prayer time and our fellowship with You. Make it a little sweeter, Lord, for us. Make it a little deeper. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that You would help this preacher as I encourage our people in the matter of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for standing. Here we see in verse 1, the exhortation. This is the Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit to write to a young preacher. I exhort, therefore, that's a pretty strong word. In other words, listen, what I'm going to tell you, son, I need your full attention. I need you to listen to me. This is an eyeball-to-eyeball moment. Hear me. Hear what I'm about to say to you. Then he says that, first of all, supplications. Here's the list here. Very interesting. Supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Be made for all men. Preacher, what's the difference between those? Supplications simply means petitions or prayer requests. Usually supplications is talking more about personal petitions or prayer requests. This is some things that you come to the Lord that you need for yourself. Prayers, the word prayer simply comes from the word asking, only it has a little bit more of a stronger definition if you go look at it than just somebody asking. It means to earnestly ask. So I take my personal petitions, my supplications, and then I go to God and I personally, earnestly ask Him for those things. Intercession is this matter of not praying for your request, but praying for other people, interceding between somebody else's needs and God, and speaking up for them. Now, folks, sometimes I hear Christians say, well, I think it's wrong to pray for yourself. Well, Jesus prayed for Himself. I think if I do what Jesus did, I'm okay, all right? Let me say quickly, if all our prayers are only for us, that's probably out of balance somehow. And yeah, I want to go to God and ask what I need, but I certainly don't want to ignore the needs of my brothers and sisters in Christ and people that are going through difficulties. If I have an opportunity to stand at the throne of grace and intercede for a brother or sister, brother, is there any better thing you could do for one of the members of the church here or a member of your family or a missionary on some field that's struggling to stay on there? I mean, think about that. And then the giving of thanks, isn't it interesting? Well, we could do a whole study on just this. How many times giving of thanks and prayer are married together in the same portion of Scripture? And I think one of the things the Bible is teaching us here is this, that, you know what, if you're going to go and ask, then also take time to be thankful. Come on, little girl down in Mexico, Zacatecas, has a little notebook and a pencil, and I can see her, and she's writing down, and the month of November, as God brings him to mind, and she's up to 246. You know, let's spend some time. If we're going to go to the throne of grace and we're going to ask for things, then I think it's only right and proper that we are mindful to thank the Lord for what He's already done for us. And so I kind of started thinking about this. The Apostle Paul, God used him to write a lot about prayer. If you want just an interesting study, not what all the Bible says about prayer, but just what Paul wrote about prayer, it's an enormous amount and more than we can cover tonight. But I think that should tell us something. If a man that was used to God by God in the way the Apostle Paul was used, and he speaks this much of prayer, there's probably a connection between the two things. And it just seems like the greater the prayer life, the more effective the Christian is. And, you know, we have not because we ask not. And so, you know what, let's ask. Let's ask with a thankful heart, but let's ask. And Apostle Paul just constantly, now two things, I kind of say this in introduction, two things the Apostle Paul understood about prayer that he makes very plain in many of his epistles is this. Paul knew that God's people needed prayer. And he said almost in every epistle, one of the things he would tell them is, I'm praying for you. And I'll just read a few of them. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, and he says that a lot, without ceasing, what a challenge to all of us. Come on, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, come on, pastor. I mean, can we really say that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers? I just think, you know, Paul just had the people that he loved on his heart and mind all the time. And as God brought him to memory and mind, he just called out and asked God to help him and bless him. And so he understood that people need prayer. Folks, everybody around you needs prayer. Everybody. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 3, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Listen, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And then, of course, that verse he wrote to the church of Philippi, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Now, one thing about the Apostle Paul, let's learn. Let's sit at the feet of a great man and just learn some things. Man alive, he prayed for people. Now, if God stood and gave testimony for you tonight, come on, and God tells the truth, amen? If he stood and gave testimony for your pastor and testified of my prayer life, would it sound anything like this? Hey, if anything, let's all up our game a little bit and just say, hey, everybody's going through a tough time. Everybody's facing challenges. Everybody's going through some heartaches. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs prayer. So, you know, I think if we all are conscious of that and we all pray for the people God brings to mind and the people we meet, and I think God would bless that. But Paul also knew that he needed the prayers of God's people. So he knew that people needed prayer, but he also knew that he needed God's people's prayer. And he repeats that in several places. Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so, he knew that he needed prayer. Do you understand how much you need people praying for you? Not only do you need to pray for people, but you need the prayers of God's people. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:25, that little short verse, brethren, pray for us. And so Paul understood he needed to pray for people, and Paul understood he needed to be prayed for. And so that introduces us a little bit to the life of the Apostle Paul. Just a little few verses, but I already get a sense that this man spent a lot of his time in prayer. And I don't mean folks sequestered away in some closet somewhere. I'm talking about as he went through life, I just believe he spent a lot of time in communication with God and praying for those around him. And so I'm going to take you to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 tonight. And again, there's so much that he wrote, but I'm going to stay mostly here. We might leave at one place. And I want to just remind you of some Bible principles when it comes to prayer that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Prayer lessons from the Apostle Paul. First of all, let's cover this one. Number one, Paul believed in making prayer a priority. Now, if we could just all let me have all your attention for a minute. If we could all just really get convinced of this and move prayer up to the proper place on our priority list. Because he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that, what's the next three words? First of all. Okay, now that means that we need to put prayer on the top of the list. Okay, I mean, there's a whole lot of other things that hey, reading your Bible's good, isn't it? I mean, that's good. The Bible supports that. And having time in the Word of God and memorizing, it's encouraged by the Bible. Meditation, encouraged. But that's not what's listed as the first of all. And you know what? Good works? Come on. We don't say enough about good works. Matter of fact, I preached a message entitled In Defense of Good Works, because sometimes the only time you hear Baptist people preach on good works is when they're preaching against trusting in good works for salvation. And of course, I get it. But man alive, you might want to study what else the Bible says about good works. And so doing good works is important, and looking for opportunities to be a blessing to someone else is important. It's not first of all. And why is that, folks? I don't care what family's important. I mean, we can list a whole lot of things, but isn't it interesting? I got to thinking, okay, well, why is that first? Well, I think probably my time with the Bible is going to be a little better if I pray before I do it. I think the opportunity to, do some good works and have influence on other people is probably going to be a little more effective if I pray before I do it. I think spending time with my wife and my family and investing that time, super important. Come on. Let's not forget how important a family is, folks. But maybe if we pray before we did it, it would be a little more meaningful. It'd have a little more power in it. And so, folks, let's make sure that we take prayer and we just put it in its proper place, because I believe that prayer ought to be at the front of the line. Now, every once in a while, okay, and this is kind of an awkward thing, and you've seen us doing it out here too at banquets, but every once in a while I'll get asked to do a Valentine's banquet, or I'll get asked to do a Christmas banquet, or I'll go somewhere and preach where there's food, which I always say yes to. Absolutely. If there's food, then I already got an agreement. That's God's sign that I'm supposed to go do it. Because then I get to not only preach, but I get to eat. So it just makes sense. But As a guest speaker, sometimes they'll get up and they'll start everything and they'll say, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then the last thing they'll say is, you know what, we're going to dismiss you by table, or we're just going to turn you loose. But hey, folks, Brother Ross, Mrs. Ross is our guest here. And so we want to make sure they get to the front of the line. And that's always awkward. I'm the kind of guy, I just want to go get in line. I don't want to cut, and little children are starving. And there I am. These little boys are looking at me like, would you hurry? I'm starving to death. And it's just, if you've never, you may think it's a big deal, but if you've ever been put in that situation, it's really awkward, because I'd rather be at the back of the line than the front line. That's the way I am. And so maybe we should just say tonight, okay, where is prayer in the line? And maybe we just ought to say to everything that we've got to do, okay, you're all important, but prayer's way back here, and excuse me, let's let prayer get in the front of the line. And I think if we do that, all the other stuff that follows probably would be a lot more blessed. And so that, number one. Number two, Paul believed, and boy, I want to challenge the men, but Paul believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. Look, if you will, down in verse number 8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so you think about that. Paul said, now look, you can look up that word men. Sometimes the word men means mankind, and it might be talking about all human beings. But notice, if you will, in verse number 9, in like manner also that what? Okay, so this verse isn't just speaking about mankind when it's talking about men leading in this matter of prayer. It's talking about us men. And I want to just challenge every man in here. Just let me have your attention. And I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to think about this, all right? If we are to be the leaders in this area and provide leadership in this area of prayer, I think I would like you to look at all of your areas of influence. And I'd like you to think about, where can I step up and lead in prayer more often than I am? And, you know, there's something special about a man that's just not afraid in any situation to stop everybody and say, hey guys, wait a minute, let's stop a minute and just have, let's pray about that a minute. Let's stop and pray about that a minute. And so men, listen, that shouldn't be the ladies and our wives, that they shouldn't be providing leadership in this. We ought to be providing leadership in this. Come on, it shouldn't be a child in the, come on, man. It shouldn't be one of the kids that's more spiritual than the dad. I mean, and start thinking about this, okay? So I want you to think about that, because I think, guys, we've kind of regulated prayer to certain places or certain times. There's these times that we're, now this sounds so silly to say out loud, but if we're not careful, there are these times we're allowed to pray, where prayer is appropriate. And there's these places where prayer is appropriate. And yet the Bible says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So let's think about our sphere of influence here. First of all, men, let's lead first of all and foremost in our home. You know, if your wife's distraught over something, I think a good Christian husband says, honey, let's pray together over that. Are you thinking about that? Just stop everything you're doing, okay? One of the kids is upset. Wouldn't it be wonderful if daddy just said, come here a minute. Come on, I want you to quiet your heart a minute. Let's pray to God. Well, okay, it's allowed. There's no wrong place. There's no wrong time. Everywhere, anytime you can pray. I just think there's something about a man stopping a situation, recognizing, I'm not talking about trying to, you know, be a holier than thou. I'm not talking about this fake Christianity. I'm not saying do it to impress people. But sometimes in all kinds of different situations that I've been in, I remember as a young man, I just have an older man in the group say, guys, let's stop a minute and pray over this. And it just hit a reset button, and it just helped focus everything, and it quieted everybody's heart. And it's amazing how in those moments, all of a sudden, you know, clarity, and we kind of came out of that listening better to God instead of trying to talk over each other, you know. And so it's, what a powerful thing when a man decides, in my home, I'm just going to be the leader of my home, provide leadership in this area of prayer in my home. How about in our church? Everybody, almost every man in here, there's some place you have some influence in the church, some job, you serve in some capacity. And I want you to just think about this. Where can we better implement prayer in that process? Is there a place we can just stop and pray? I remember when they made me a bus captain, you know, and one of the things, okay, that's what God's given me now. I'm going to be a bus captain. I've got these workers that work on my bus route. One of the things I just decided from the beginning is that we were going to pray a lot. And I mean it. We hardly did anything before. And you know, I think one of the things that endeared me to my workers was the fact that they had a man that was leading that bus route that understood how much we needed God. And he wasn't ashamed at any moment, at any time, just to say, all right, let's get a quiet heart right now. I think this situation that's come up, we just need to go to God with. There's something wonderful about that, something powerful about that. And so, you know, gentlemen, don't hesitate to do that. Sometimes somebody shares something at the church with you, you know, and maybe something they're going through. Hey, you know, before church, after church, man, I'm so sorry. I had no idea you were facing that. Hey, can I pray with you a minute? Listen, that ought to be normal Christianity. Anytime, everywhere. So let's lead in our home. Let's lead in our church. Bus captains, can you insert prayer a little bit more? Sunday school teachers, can you insert prayer a little bit more? You know, think about it. School, can we insert prayer a few extra places, you know? And it doesn't have to be on schedule. Just sometimes it's just listen to the Holy Spirit. And just like, hey, you know what? Guys, right now I think everybody we just need all quiet down, shut down, quiet our hearts, and let's just go to God with this right now. And I think if we went that way as a leader, a lot of times something that's turning into a mess could be salvaged and turned into a blessing, you know. And so just think about that. I'll let the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's in your home and your church. Those are easy to do. But what about in the community? Have you ever stopped and prayed with somebody in a store? I have. You ever stopped in a parking lot and prayed with somebody? I have. I think when people come up to you and they recognize you after work, somebody stop you and they know you're a Christian, they're going through a tough time. Brother Levi, you've done it to coal mine. Well, let's pray real quick, buddy. I'm sorry, I had no idea. Let me pray with you about that. I don't know. Just let's kind of take this as a challenge. Let's just be super sensitive and just say, God, as you speak to my heart, I want to be my first of all reaction needs to be a prayer reaction. And I need to be the ones. You put it on us men to provide leadership in this matter of prayer. Hey, how many of you men, I ask you for a raise of hands, I think it's all of it. But wouldn't you want your children's most sacred memories one of these days when they're standing around your casket to be daddy's prayers? Wouldn't you want your grandpa, come on grandpas. I mean, you know, praying with our grandkids ought to be something that's just as normal as talking with them or playing with them or anything else. You know, let's lead in this matter of prayer. And so pretty powerful there. In our home, in our church, in our community. Then I have you go over to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to get out of 1 Timothy for the last one. But Ephesians chapter number 6, of course, those of you familiar with your Bible, you know we're going to the chapter that covers the armor of God. So Paul believed in making prayer a priority, and he believed that men should provide leadership in the area of prayer. But it's amazing, again, what Paul did when he magnified the importance of prayer when it comes to spiritual battles. We read in chapter 6, verse 10, and finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All these are important, folks. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, okay, there you go. You got all the armor on. Wait, we're not done. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So he said, you know, put the armor on, but before you go to battle, you better bow your head. Before you start swinging that sword, maybe you ought to bow your knee. Come on. And before you go out and try to take on the devil, because that's what this is about, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. Hey, we got a lot of invisible enemies out there. And I think they tremble when they see, come on, I'm talking a lot about men, but all Christians need to put on the armor of God. They see us strapping on our armor in the morning. I think when the devil and the devils, the demons of hell, watch us start strapping on our armor, I think they start getting a little nervous. But I'm going to tell you what really makes them nervous. When you get in full armor and then you bend down on your knees and you get down on your face and you lay that sword in front of you, put your forehead on it, and you beseech the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, to help you as you face these enemies. You know, folks, when you feel, and I hope you have a sensitivity to this, I think most of us know this, and if not, try to be more aware of it. But you know what? I sense very strongly when I'm under a satanic oppression or satanic attack. And you know what? The best thing to do at that moment is to pray. I promise you, the best thing to do at that moment is to pray. I remember years ago, we took over the church, Victory Baptist Church, and you know, we were kind of pastoring by committee for a while we were praying on who would come take that church. And I was over there with, I don't even remember who I was with. Well, I was knocking doors over there. We were kind of doing double duty, trying to build that church and keep ours going and praying God would send a pastor. And I went over there one afternoon and I'm knocking a neighborhood. You bus captains have been there before. Where you're knocking a certain neighborhood, it just seems like, you know, every single visit is just, not just a negative, but a double negative, a triple negative. And it's just like, by the time you've gone a couple blocks, you just feel like that there is just like a demonic oppression. It's almost like the devil sent a legion of devils to just secure a stronghold. And I remember walking down the road, whoever I was visiting with, and I finally, after about two blocks of that, I just stopped and looked at whoever was with me, and I said, I don't know what is going on, but we're getting nothing done. I could just sense it. And I mean, I said, let's pray. And I mean, on our knees right then on the sidewalk, we just got down. You know, I'm doing it. We're in the middle back. I don't think there's anybody to even, don't do it for show. God knows your heart. I wasn't doing it for show. I was doing it because I needed help. Hey, where'd you learn that stuff up in Chicago? I'm going to tell you something. You had to go block by block. I mean, sometimes many Saturdays, the last thing I would do before I left my bus route is I would walk in the dark, after dark, every single block, get in the middle of the block, get on my knees and beg God, claim that block for Christ, claim the kids that lived on that. And I'd go to the next block and I'd go to the next block and I'd go to the next. Listen, I guess God just wanted me to kind of just wave the flag tonight a little bit, you know. Folks, we can do a lot, put a lot of effort in a lot of things and nothing happened. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain to build it. And you can labor in vain. That's what that verse teaches me. You can labor in vain. So we're putting a lot of work in what we do. It'd be kind of silly if we didn't get God in on it. Preacher, what's the best way to get God in on it? And get on your knee. Come on, onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. Man alive, I'm all for the marching. But maybe before we march, we ought to kneel. Maybe there's something about just laying that sword on the floor and putting your forehead right on that sword. Full armor of God. I'm going to go on my bus route. God, I'm not going out there not fully armed. And armored up. I'm taking the sword with me, but God, if I don't have you with me, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? You know, those little kids are going to, Lord, it's a Sunday morning, an hour and a half from now, I'm going to be standing in front of a room full of little girls or little boys. Some of them come from pretty rough situations. This is their one, come on, this is their moment of sunlight and sunshine. And this is the one place they come where they feel a little bit of that blessed hope. Okay? And I'm not standing up there without the armor on. But I don't want to just wear the armor. I want to be able to say, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of my... I don't know what you're facing, Christian. I don't know why God moved so specifically this week, but I think I needed to hear what I said if nobody else needed to hear it. And man alive, let's just get to God. Let's finish where we started. Look right up here. He loves you. He loves you. I don't care what the devil's told you. He loves you. He knows what you're facing more than you know what you're facing. He knows the struggles. And he wants to hear from his kids. Just what same way you'd love to hear from your kids.
Yes.
Come on. My phone rings and I open it up and there's the name of one of the Ross girls on there. You don't think that does something different to daddy?
Yes, sir.
You know, folks, I don't let a phone rule my life. But if we're in a meeting, my wife calls, sorry.
Right.
I'm answering it. Why? I'm scared. Scared. No, she acts all sweet and stuff. You have no idea. She's a mean woman. She keeps me in line, so scared of her. And those little girls, man, they, you know what? I mean, I don't care. I was at a big national convention one time. Lonnie Mattingly was preaching, and the cell phone went off, which everybody thought was hilarious because they thought he forgot to turn it off. And he stopped in the middle of that message, and he said, folks, he said, I'm sorry, and I never do this, but I got to take this call. He steps away from the mic, talks for a minute, and he said, one of my baby girls was having surgery, one of my daughters, and I told her that I was going to cancel coming here and go be with her, and she said, Daddy, no, I want you to preach. I'll call you as soon as I know something. And he said, well, I don't care when it is. You call me. I don't know. I learned something that night. I learned something that night, okay? And I said all that to say this. You know, God could handle everything he's got on his plate and more. But you know what? He hears the voice of one of his children. You got his full attention. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Heavenly Father, thank you. We're so loved. We're so spoiled. You're so good. Lord, you've never not been there for us. It's not a one of us can stand up and say we've always been there for you, but you've never not been there for us. And the Lord, in this matter of prayer, dear God, I just pray that you'd take these just three simple truths. Paul got it really quick in his Christian life. People need prayer, and I need people praying for me. And then he just established some things. And this is going to be a first of all priority. This is going to be something that men, I'm going to challenge men to lead in. And this is going to be something I remind people that if you're going to go to war, if you're going to fight spiritual battles, don't you go without bending the knee. So, Lord, everybody's life here is different. And everybody faces different things. But thank you that, Lord, there's some things that are consistent and some things that are true of all of us. We need you, and you do love us. And thank you for making yourself available to us, Lord, and hearing our prayers and loving us. And, Lord, sometimes maybe, I remember one of my daughters recently, Dad, I hated to bother you with this. It's just a little thing. No, not if it's something that's bothering her, it's not a little thing. Big thing to Daddy. I just think, my God's the same. I just think, God, you're the same. And so, Lord, thank you for caring about the little things and being with us, walking us through it, helping us, giving us strength, giving us wisdom. Sometimes when that confusion comes to our minds, we don't know what to think or where to go or who to listen to. And we get before you and it just seems like all the other voices, they'll start quieting and we hear that still small voice that we need to hear. So Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us the rest of this month into December and all the way into a new year. Just help us, dear God, to be more attentive in our prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name.